Deco Society welcomes you to our Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future Deco Society and other related events, also book reviews, handy household hints, and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era. Deco Retro. Deco Retro.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is Nancy on the Deco Retro program. Today we have as our guest Stuart Atwood. Stuart was born in Auckland and has spent most of his life in Waiuku, but now more recently resides in Wellington. He has been involved with photography for more years than he can remember, has won awards nationally, also in Melbourne and New York for his work. His interest in Art Deco grew from his appreciation of the design, art and architecture of this period. He also designs jewellery boxes and furniture using deco motifs and design as a basis to his work. In photography, his love of history and the beauty of commonplace things led him to start shooting images of Art Deco and modernist buildings around New Zealand. He usually photographs shops and industrial or public buildings that are dotted around the country. He tends to shoot the buildings in small towns as they are either in a state of decay or are often at the risk of being pulled down due to owners not being able to strengthen them to earthquake risks. He is also attracted to the parapets of these buildings that often have the date of construction, but also the original owner's name and often their business. He feels that there is a sense of pride in ownership of long gone business people, pride of creating buildings that had a sense of style and individuality about them. There are many of these buildings still to be seen, yet many of them are deteriorating. So he feels that recording them is a very worthwhile project. The images are to him an artistic project. Some are altered in Photoshop, but only to the point of enhancing colours and removing modern alterations, signage and sometimes surrounding buildings or cars. He never changes the essence of the buildings themselves. Welcome, Stuart, to Deco Retro on Planet FM today. So when did you first take up photography, Stuart, and why? Does it tend to run in the family, or did you have an interest from, you know, being quite young?
I would have started when I was probably about 15. It was basically purely an interest thing. My father had a decent camera, and I was quite fascinated with the images. That followed through to years later working for a professional photographic lab doing wedding portrait.
Oh, gosh.
So I was with them for about 18 years. It was basically all international work.
A little bit
from New Zealand, but 95% I would say was coming in from England, America, various other parts of the planet, and so we were producing a lot of fantastic photographs for professional photographers all around the world. And I got into the printing side of things, and I entered competitions and won several awards in New York and
That's Melbourne. Fantastic. I didn't think you were that well known, but obviously you are. That's wonderful.
Thank you. So what type of
photography was that? Was that fashion photography, or, you know, what did it...
I would say probably more along the fine art line. I've done too many weddings to remember.
Really?
Basically, fine art, sort of architectural lines, hence the Art Deco work. And I'll pretty much shoot anything, really.
Good on you.
I've been involved with Glory Days magazine, doing event photography for them.
Because theirs is really vintage, isn't it? Type stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why in particular did you, you know, you've got so many photographs of like deco buildings. Why in particular did you choose deco?
I studied history at uni. I've always had a fascination with New Zealand in itself, and I appreciate the Art Deco buildings for specific reasons. I think one would be the actual history of the buildings themselves. Mostly, we're coming up to the 2020, so these buildings are pushing 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The creative side of them, I have an interest in simply in deco and deco design.
Yes.
I think also the fact that there was a real sense of pride in these buildings. Often you see names of businesses, names of individuals who put the buildings up, along with the deco motifs and just in general style with the parapets, the eyebrows over windows and various other sort of architectural features. So they lend themselves quite nicely to making images of, basically.
Because a lot of these businesses have gone now, like Dalgetty and Company and all these, you know, oh, I can't recall them, you probably do, but a lot of them have disappeared, haven't they, all been bought up by other big companies?
Yeah. And I think in many cases, because I travel around New Zealand a lot, I see a lot of these buildings in mainly small towns, provincial cities, where the buildings themselves, the owners can't afford to have them earthquake strengthened.
No, this is going to be tragic, isn't it?
And a lot of them are just simply falling into dereliction. It's not always the case. I mean, obviously, places like Napier, Whanganui, there's a few towns where they're really starting to bring the buildings back up. And I think, they're a national treasure. So I think it's obviously well worth attempting to save them.
So are the councils in these places helping out, you know, financially to upgrade them to earthquake standards, or are the owners just left to struggle on their own to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't know too much about that side of things. I mean, I think I've seen one or two buildings around that have been having national buildings of national significance and trust things put on them. There is actually currently a the building preservation trust is essentially looking at receiving applications at the moment. I forget the name of the actual organisation, but I just saw it recently that they're looking for applications. So if there is a building that the local people decide should be preserved, the applications are actually available right now, apparently, for this year's round.
Oh, I see, and they apply to sort of get money to help them upgrade them. Is that right, or...?
I don't know if they're actually going to get help for upgrading.
Oh, okay.
I was in Palmerston North over the weekend, and I saw a clay and brick kiln for creating the.
Yes.
And that's actually under protection, and it doesn't look derelict. It looks like they've been doing work on it, but I would assume, and this is only an assumption, that would come down to local councils and various other organisations as to where assistance came for doing these buildings up,
yes,
or preserving them. I know I'm in Wellington right now, and there were several buildings not only damaged in the earthquake, but there was several buildings, only in particular, that had facades blown off in a storm recently, and big chunks of masonry falling down, and the potential for and the actual expense for redoing those buildings is incredibly high. So a lot of owners, it would make economic sense for them to actually just pull these things down and put up something new. But
yes, I know. Usually something horrible. Not very nice buildings.
Yeah, right.
Is there any place in particular in New Zealand where you sort of were most impressed with, you know, the old Art Deco buildings? That, you know, is there any town or city that contains more than others? Or, well, I suppose it's always Napier, isn't there? But apart from Napier...
Yeah, I think one of my favourite. I've got a couple of favourite spots in the central North Island. That would be Ratahee.
Okay, gosh.
Possibly not so much Art Deco there, but they're more. They're very old. I think it was built around 1908. So it's just pushing the beginning of the period.
Mm-hmm.
We've also Mangere Wick is another brilliant place. It's a lot of the towns that I photograph have actually been bypassed.
Yes,
Mangere Wick.
That's right.
Mangere Wick is fantastic. It's literally you drive 50 metres off the main road and you've got a deserted, well, essentially deserted ghost town.
Oh gosh!
Well preserved. That was an old railway town. But in the bigger places, you know, obviously Napier, Whanganui, Fielding and Marton are both pretty amazing. Palmerston North, I think Wellington has some amazing buildings as well. And I think where Auckland, especially in the main part of the city, back in the 80s and 90s when there was a lot of demolition going on, Wellington seemed to have a better appreciation of the old buildings, I think. And
and there was more money there too.
The old buildings seemed to have survived a lot better. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Now, you've got a great accumulation of all these photos, and I believe you're interested or have started writing a book, which will be fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I've been working towards that. It's a long-term project. I think I'm hoping to get it out within the next year. It'll be both a creative and a historical document. In many cases when I get to a small town, the weather's absolutely awful, and I don't care if it's pouring with rain. I'll still jump out and take photos of the building.
Yes.
And so in order to make the images look great, I've got no problem with photoshopping them and bringing up the colour and what have you. I don't alter the building's character.
I will remove
things like air conditioning units and cars parked in front of them and that sort of thing, just to basically bring the character of the building out.
Yes. Yep. Have you thought of a name for your book, or has it got a name? Or
yeah, I've been toying around with ideas. I like the idea of the fact that in the middle of these towns, basically where the buildings started, the centre of town, and a lot of these towns, people simply drive through them. They've got a they'll have a gas station and fast food at each end of the place. So a lot of people stop in those places, but they won't actually go through. Stop in the centre of the
city. That's quite true. Such a shame, really, but I suppose if they're travelling through, they want a meal, they whip into McDonald's or whatever and bypass the actual main part of the city, which is sad because that's where all the old buildings are.
Yes, very much, yeah. I think bypassing's another thing as well. Tikawiti's been bypassed and Mangere Wick is another one. I think Pateruru's basically bypassed. And I know that down in this part of the world with the new Kapiti Coast Expressway, which is being extended to Levin, apparently, they're going to be bypassing Levin, Waikanae, which is basically already bypassed. But there's several towns that are going to be bypassed altogether, and the towns will continue to sit there, but the traffic flow will basically be a straight shot from pretty much what's happened along a lot of State Highway 1, State Highway 2 especially.
Yeah, so, it's a bit sad, yeah. Isn't it? Now, this is sort of completely different, but I see on Facebook you are taking an interest in another type of art, which is freely displayed on a lot of buildings, which is graffiti, which is quite surprising. Can you tell us a bit about that?
The graffiti?
That you're photographing.
Yeah.
It's very different.
I think it seems to balance off nicely with the degradation of a lot of the buildings.
Yes.
They sort of... I can see some sort of beauty in it, but I think that it sort of, I would personally prefer to see the buildings, you know, obviously restored back to their former glory. It's quite a good indicator as to what I think what's happening to a lot of these places.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting. I was photographing in Fielding the other day, and I was looking through the images at the end of it and noticed that just about every single one of them had grass growing out of the roof or on the eaves.
Oh, gosh, that's so sad.
That to me, mate, is visually interesting.
Yes.
But it doesn't do much for the state of the buildings, I don't think.
Not really. Now, Stuart, I believe you make jewellery boxes and furniture. Yes. Are you able to tell us a bit about that?
Sure. I trained as a cabinet maker, and for many years I've squirreled away a lot of native timbers and things. I build furniture, I trained in furniture, and along with the deco photography, I've been working on deco style furniture. I see deco as a style. It's not something to be copied. It's basically just how it is. And I that sort of led me into jewellery boxes, because being the squirrel that I am, I refuse to throw away valuable native timber. And from there, I essentially came up with some work that reflects deco. It's basically, you know, I use deco motifs in these boxes, and the shape of the actual boxes themselves. Same with furniture. I was in Palmerston talking to a friend of mine who is a glass artist.
Oh, and yes.
And she's going to be producing LED light panels for me for doing cabinet work.
Oh,
with.
Wonderful. Gosh.
Yeah.
That's quite an art, isn't it?
Mm.
And it would be quite hard to find somebody who's still doing that type of glass work, wouldn't it? I mean, there's not a lot of artists, you know, are into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. She's very dedicated to a lot of her work comes into restoration for stained glass windows from houses and. You know, I'm living in Petone, which was basically a part of the world that was, it's basically bungalows as far as the eye can see, and every single home has stained glass windows in them from the period. And walking around the streets, none of them are the same. It's quite fascinating is to look around and see these windows, and house after house after house has them, but they're all different. And so she basically receives a lot of commission work to essentially fix up the one broken pane in the corner, sort of thing.
Yes, well, that's the trouble. And also those old china cabinets, you know, that's all that type of glass, isn't it? And sometimes you can't get them repaired, the old deco china cabinets, because you can't find somebody who can do that, you know, type of work any longer. Are all those houses in Petone, are they all well cared for and maintained and kept up to scratch?
Yeah, Petone's going through a real growth spurt at the moment. The properties, it was a fairly low economic area for many, many years, and it sort of flattened out for many years, but over the last 6 months or so, a year or so, the property prices are going up, and it's becoming also essentially gentrified, I think.
Right.
The people that are purchasing the places are doing them up.
Great.
I've actually worked on about three Art Deco homes in the last few weeks. Really? Yeah,
so you do building work as well. You're a man of many trades. You do the building, do you? Like help repairs and with repairs?
Oh
and
yeah,
like that.
I'm looking for work down here at the moment, and so basically just through friends and associates, I've managed to pick up a bit of work doing home decorating and things. So. I did a little bit of building years ago, and sort of you don't tend to forget those skills. So yeah.
And what about the borer? Do you find any borer in any of these old houses, or are they still pretty okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty standard stuff. I think Tatoni in particular is essentially a fairly sandy area, and so a lot of the houses are being repiled. There's probably more repilers in this area than I've ever seen anywhere else.
Right. So it's mainly in the piles.
Borer is an issue as well.
Yes.
It's just part and parcel of the course of native timber, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately. Well, somebody once said to me, no house has actually ever fallen to bits because of borer. It seems to hang together, but, boy, it can create a lot of dust and worry, I would think.
Yeah, especially in a place that's earthquake prone, you sort of don't really want to bore a riddled house. I've been relining rooms and I've seen, you know, borer's a funny insect. It'll attack one or two particular pieces and it'll leave the rest alone for some reason. Maybe it just doesn't taste good, but I think what I've been seeing is the houses are actually in reasonably good condition. Yeah, it's really quite neat to see.
Yeah, that's great.
It'll last. Mm.
Now, look, it's been great talking to you, Stuart. We're sort of getting near the end of the program. Now, you've chosen, you're also very interested in music, aren't you? And you've chosen a piece by, well, I shouldn't say a piece, but Alice Francis singing St. James Ballroom, which I've, you know, listened to myself, and it's a very great piece. You know, I really enjoyed it. It's got a great swing to it. It is a type of swing, what do they call it, electronic swing, or what do they call it, modern day swing?
Retro swing.
Okay, got it.
If you Google that, you'll find lots of it. Yeah.
She's got a lot of songs in there. Can you sort of explain a bit about her, because she's obviously sort of, you know, goes into that era and really enjoys it and dresses and everything. Can you just tell us a little bit about her before we finish the program?
Yeah, sure. Well, from what I know about her, I believe she's either French or Romanian.
She
probably more likely to be French. I think she's electro swing is quite a popular movement. It's been around for a number of years now.
But like a Charleston?
I just like her. I think she's very, very upbeat.
Great.
Just like with my photography, she puts a modern twist on an old form of music that basically brings it back to life again. And I sort of thought with this particular song as well, it was about a building. So considering we're talking about buildings, it was seemed quite poignant.
Well, is it the St. James Ballroom? Is that an actual ballroom, or is she just calls a song that?
Yeah. I think there's actually more than one of them. I believe there's one in New York.
Okay.
And I believe there might be one in Canada as well, but you'd have to really research that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, listen, Stuart, thank you very much for being on our program today. It's been great. I hope you've managed to hear me okay with it being a telephone interview. And just thank you very much. It's going to be great fun for our listeners to, you know, listen into.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Nancy. I much appreciate it.
Thank you, Stuart. I'll say goodbye now.
Okay, thanks, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Deco Retro Future Events.
As you are aware, today is the 14th of June, and this evening, the Auckland Art Deco Society invites you to join us at 7:30 p.m. at the Auckland Horticultural Council Building, 990 Great North Road, Western Springs. Travels with Merrin and Margot will take you on an amazing tour of the Art Nouveau capital of the world, Riga in Latvia, and also the Architecture Foundation tour of Art Deco Chicago, through the images of two of our members' recent travels. $5 for members and $8 for non-members, and this includes a light supper. On Saturday, the 1st of July, the Auckland Art Deco Society is holding a crafternoon tea from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Auckland Horticultural Council Building, 990 Great North Road, Western Springs. Join local craftspeople in preparation for winter Napier Art Deco and beyond. Learn how to style that favorite gents' wardrobe and refresh your Art Deco styling inspiration whilst enjoying a delicious afternoon, or perhaps I should say, craftnoon tea. The charge is $5 for members and $8 for non-members. And just a reminder, Winter Napier Art Deco takes place from the 14th to the 17th of July. Now, the wedding dress exhibition, Till Death Us Do Part, 50 years of vintage wedding style, continues until the 30th of June at Highwick House, 40 Gillies Avenue, Epsom. It's well worth the effort to see this exhibition, which showcases over 20 beautiful wedding dresses from the 1930s to the 1970s and delves into the social and fashion history of the times. Many of the dresses are also being auctioned off online to raise money for the charity organisation The Aunties. Miss Havisham's Day Out on Sunday, the 18th of June, from 12 to 3 p.m. should be lots of fun with irreverent games, prizes, and a creepy wedding cake. For more information, and if you wish to place a bid on any of the beautiful wedding gowns, go to www.glorydaysmagazine.com. And finally, the Auckland Art Deco Society's annual general meeting will be held on the 20th of August. So make a note of that in your diary, and we'll give more details on our next Deco Retro program.
Now, listeners, we will end the program with Alice Francis singing St. James Ballroom. Bye for now.
Welcome to St. James
today. Listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m.
or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/DecoRetro. If you wish to join the Auckland Art Deco Society, phone Francis on 021 255 0241 or email francis@aerialengineering.com. Francis, spelt E-S, at aerial, A-R-I-E-L, engineering.com. Bye for now.